As we continue worshiping together this morning, hear these words of the prophet Isaiah taken from the 55th chapter and beginning in the 8th verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, as we continue worshiping together, hear these words from the letter of James, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
Those of you who have been here for a while, or even the last handful of weeks, know that Foundry is in the midst of some transition in our staff. There's a lot going on as we seek to move into a new season here at Foundry. And over the last few weeks, I've been lifting up some information to try to make sure that we are moving through this time of transition with as much clarity as we can. So that you know what's coming and understand some of the things that are happening. The primary thing I want to lift up once again today is just a little information about our new associate pastor who is coming, whose first Sunday with us will be next Sunday, July the 1st. I can't believe that we are already at this point. So many things have happened even just since the turn of 2018 in terms of our staff. But this coming Sunday, July the 1st, we will welcome the Reverend Dr. Malcolm Frazier, who's going to be coming among us to serve as the Director of Hospitality and Congregational Care. This is, I've been emphasizing this, and I want to be clear that Reverend Frazier is not serving the same role that Pastor Don served. It is a different ministry role, so I want our expectations to be very clear in terms of how we're relating to Pastor Malcolm and what we're asking of him. He's coming among us to do three primary things. One, to care for our hospitality ministries and all of our welcoming and integration ministries as we welcome new folk among us at Foundry, including our Disciples Path courses and all of those pieces wrapped around that to help new folks find their place here at Foundry Church. Pastor Malcolm is also going to be organizing and caring for all the different aspects of congregational care, including pastoral care, including working with our care ministry team, including all of the ways that together we seek to reach out and take care of our folk. Pastor Malcolm will also be caring for those parts of our shared life that have to do with life transitions. So pre-Cana ministry, which is our marriage preparation, our baptism preparation, and working closely with families as we prepare to celebrate the lives of those who have passed into the next life. So he's going to be doing some of that work for us, as well as caring for lots of our membership data, membership secretary kind of administrative work. So these are the kinds of things he's going to be doing. I have not been lifting this up because I wanted to be clear about the different role that he's playing, but you will notice when Pastor Malcolm arrives that in his title it will say Senior Associate Pastor. And that is simply a reflection of the fact that the Reverend Dr. Frazier is coming to us with 20 years of ministry experience, a breadth of ministry experience, and credentials that allow us to receive him at that level. So we want to honor his work among us with that title. He is one a member of our team of associate pastors, but I don't want you to be thrown off by the title. Friends, I also want to highlight that Pastor will be having a different title. Again, we just are doing all these things to make sure you're paying attention. Want to keep you on your toes. So for those of you who might have been here last week, this is a test. Pastor Will's new title is Associate Pastor and Director of Discipleship Ministries. Well done, well done. Pastor Will is going to continue to be building on the amazing ministry he is doing for our adult study and small groups, as well as really emphasizing more around leadership development, and will also then be bringing more energy into helping me plan, develop creative and transcendent worship experiences here at Foundry. So those are going to be the three kind of big buckets that he's going to be caring for today. So if you have any questions about that, please don't hesitate to ask me, any member of the staff, or any member of the board or personnel committee. We're happy to talk with you more and clarify any of that. I hope you'll be here next Sunday and look for the opportunities to meet Pastor Malcolm at home gatherings that will be happening between July and September to give you a chance to meet him personally and to get to know him. There'll be more information about that coming very soon, so keep an eye out for that. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the ways that you continue to move and to work in and through us here at Foundry Church. Be with those servant leaders who have been among us. We continue to lift up your servant, Pastor Dawn, as she makes her transition to a new ministry setting. We pray for Pastor Malcolm as he prepares to come among us and to serve here at Foundry. We pray for all of us who are in servant leadership here in all the ways that that happens. Continue to bless us through this transition. And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. For you, O God, are my strength. You and you alone are the salvation of this beautiful, broken world. Amen. Every Sunday, I extend the same words of welcome. And among those words are these: no matter what you feel today or don't feel today. Sometimes I change it up a little bit and say, no matter what you feel today, or maybe you're just not feeling it today. But no matter what, you're welcome to come and to be met by our God who knows you, who loves you, and wants to be close to you. There's a phrase that's getting used a lot these days for the experience of having a lot of feelings. And some of you may know it. It's, I'm having all the feels. For many of us, in these last couple of weeks, the most prevalent feels have been rage, disappointment, and heartbreak, as the stories of thousands of children separated from their parents at our border have come into our public consciousness. Part of the tragedy here is that migrant children have been suffering at our borders for a long time. Using this suffering as a deterrent to coming to the U.S. is new through the so-called zero tolerance policy. But for years, the horrendous violence and poverty in countries like Guatemala and Honduras have meant that children, both accompanied by a parent and unaccompanied, have arrived on our southern borders seeking a better life, seeking safety. And they've not always found what they were seeking. Our failure as a nation and across administrations to mend our broken immigration system and to invest in a humane program to consistently care for children and families in a way that's in line with our nation's core values. It's meant that trauma has been added to trauma for so many of our most vulnerable family members. This most recent horror takes that to new heights, the only possible benefit being that it's opened the eyes of many to this suffering that is being inflicted in our name and may have the effect of spurring some substantive change through public pressure. Of course, it's hard to believe that will actually happen when we've seen other violence done to children yield no such change. And of course, the suffering of immigrants and asylum seekers is but one of many instances of profound pain in our world. Sometimes in the face of such overwhelming pain and struggle, we're drawn more closely to God, seeking solace, guidance, courage, and inspiration. Other times we may be left feeling distant from God, as in a dry and weary land. Sometimes we may feel energized by the opportunity to serve and to be in community with God's people at church, to organize and to strategize, to vent in safe space, and to engage in acts of sacred resistance. Other times we may not find energy at all, not to worship, not to serve, not to engage, not to pray. Sometimes we're just not feeling God. Sometimes we're just not feeling church. And that response can happen for so many reasons. Sometimes it may be due to what's going on out in the world around us. Other times we may feel uninspired or aggravated by what's happening in our church, to what other people are doing, or what's being said or sung or prayed, or what's not being said or sung or prayed, or how things are being managed or organized. Other times it may be our own stuff that leaves us feeling untouched, unmoved, like meh. That is, we may be exhausted, or we may be overwhelmed, or we may be distracted. There may also be times when we are simply in a season of spiritual dryness. And this is actually a very common experience, even for famous Christians. In 2007, a collection of Mother Teresa's private writings was published, revealing that she'd suffered for most of her adult life with spiritual dryness. She didn't feel God's presence at all. And friends, that's the worst kind of not feeling it. To want to feel that Christ is near, to want to feel Spirit's love and power, to want to feel the comfort and the care of God, our Father and our Mother, and to not feel any of it, that is difficult and it is painful. The revelation of the now Saint Teresa's spiritual suffering came as a shock to many, since her public life of self-giving service to the destitute and the dying in Calcutta was so steady, Her daily practice of spending hours in prayer is the stuff of legend. Stories are told of hours and hours on her knees in prayer. And it's here that we receive the message, the core message for us today. Saint Teresa just kept serving. She just kept praying. She just kept bringing herself to be before the one who is, even when she didn't feel anything. Both our scripture texts today employ images of planting and of harvest. James writes, "The farmer waits for the precious crop, being patient until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient." And in Isaiah, we hear God promise, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that for which it is purposed. It will succeed in that for which it was sent." When we're in a moment or a season of spiritual drought, we're encouraged to be patient. And we're given assurance that our patient waiting will not ultimately be in vain. Because while we don't know God's thoughts or God's purpose fully, we are assured that God's word is poured out and is potent. In the beginning, our story goes, God spoke and the whole world was created. God's word eternally spoken, God's word of love, God's word of justice, God's word of peace and of mercy and restoration is like water. Life-giving, life-sustaining, flowing. I imagine Saint Teresa continuing to show up, putting herself in the flow of God's grace, in the flow of God's word, through service and through worship and through sacrament and through prayer, not necessarily feeling God's presence or power, but patiently attending to those practices that put her in proximity to the flow of the word and the work of God. I've read that Saint Teresa's presence was powerful, that love and light was felt anytime she was in the room. Evidently, even though she may not have been feeling God's presence, God's love and God's light were made manifest through her. You see, God's word accomplishes that for which it is purposed. It doesn't depend on whether we're feeling it. When we're not feeling it, it remains so important to continue to show up. If you are in a season when you feel you've lost faith, then show up in worship and let the church hold faith for you. Let the church hold you in that space. If you're feeling cynical about the world, about people, then show up at a service project and observe, look around you at the commitment and the hope in action of the people that are there. If you are fed up with the fact that the church isn't all it's supposed to be, and you're thinking that this whole organized religion thing is a big waste of time, then show up and really look in this or all sorts of congregations and see, look and see where love and reconciliation and hope and justice and joy and restoration are happening. It's happening in ways large and small, here and in churches all over the world. It's happening. I think that some folks believe that if they're not feeling something that they think they're supposed to feel, then there must be something either wrong with them or wrong with the church. And what I want to suggest is that sometimes, just like many of our spiritual ancestors, you just won't be feeling it that day, or for a long while. And no matter what you feel or don't feel, you're welcome. You're encouraged to come, to show up, and to just be in the midst of the gathered body and the music and the prayers and the words and the scriptures, and to be reminded that just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean that God is not present. That just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean that God is not always working for good in the world. Sometimes you may struggle to pray because it seems like nothing is happening and that no one is there. Just keep showing up and allow the Word of God through scripture or a prayer book or a song or a poem. Just allow that to be in your mind. A dear friend of mine, Dr. Ann Jervis, who's a teacher of New Testament and Anglican priest, once shared with me about how in her daily prayers, she prayed the office, the hours, so morning, noon, evening, night prayers. And she said that someday she would pray the prayers and would be deeply moved. And then other times, she just got through it. She would talk about how feeling is not actually what it's about. That she just wasn't feeling it, and that was okay. She said, it's not about just feeling it, it's about making yourself available, about showing up. Spiritual master Evelyn Underhill writes, intellect and feeling are not wholly in our control. Now, I think that's one of the greatest understatements I've read to you in a while. Intellect and feeling are not wholly under our control. She says they fluctuate from day to day, from hour to hour. My husband will tell you, for me, they fluctuate from minute to minute. Intellect and feeling are dependent, she writes, on many delicate adjustments. Sometimes we're mentally dull. Sometimes we are emotionally flat. On such occasions, it is notoriously useless to try to beat ourselves up to a froth, to make ourselves think more deeply or to care more intensely. She says, if the worth of our prayer life depended upon the maintenance of a constant high level of feeling or understanding, we would be in a dangerous place. Though these often seem to fail us, the reigning will remains. Even when our heart is cold and our mind is dim, prayer is still possible to us. The determined fixing of our will upon God and pressing toward God steadily and without deflection. This, she says, is the very center and art of prayer. That's what my friend Anne was teaching me. And I witnessed this quality of being in her that communicated a spiritual groundedness that can only be the fruit of a deep, sustained practice of showing up with God. Now, I'm not suggesting that showing up through attending to spiritual practices and holy habits will automatically restore to you what is missing. It certainly doesn't solve the tragedies in our lives or in our world. But the long record of God's people through history affirms that God can and does bring new life out of the dry places. And I don't know about you, but I find that sometimes when I am in a dry and thirsty place, and manage to get myself into a space shared between friends, or in the space of a classroom, or a mission gathering, or a sanctuary, sometimes when I least expect it, something happens in that sacred space because somehow I was able to show up, and something happens that feels like water seeping deep within and reaching down into those dusty, dry places and finding seeds of hope and of courage, even of joy, that I didn't remember were there. In those moments, I might cry, or I might laugh, I might shout, I might grow silent and still, I might discover a new resolve to act or to serve. In those moments, perhaps you know what I mean, I find myself thinking, the Lord is near. And sometimes only for that moment, I'm no longer thirsty. But somehow it's enough. Keep showing up. Amen.